came up against him, he was prepared, anointed, and ready for it. The gift of God in his life empowered him to overcome every obstacle, and he did it with the jawbone of a donkey. I don't know about you, but if I was going to take on 1,000 men, I'd want the biggest gun and as many reloads as I could have. But he didn't. He had this insignificant weapon, a jawbone of a donkey. Looks pretty pathetic. I told you last year that Jesus could have ridden into Jerusalem on a stolen stallion if he'd wanted to. But he chose a donkey, which is synonymous of us, floppy-eared, stupid, non-cooperative, and sat on it, right? And he used a donkey to get into Jerusalem, and I was thinking the correlation between the jawbone of a donkey and my jawbone. What is coming out of my jawbone? Good question. Because it's directly connected with the battle I'm in and my victory over it. You know, I don't live in la-la land. If I'm sick, I'm not afraid to say I'm sick. But in this jawbone, I will have a promise from God that is far greater than my sickness. I don't mind saying the devil's trying to beat me up. But I got a promise in my jawbone that's twice as big as the devil is. So I don't try to live in la-la land like these things are not happening. Okay? But I've got a promise in my jawbone, and you'll notice it was a fresh jawbone. It wasn't last year's or last month's. We need to have a fresh word from God in our lives every single day we live. And the sooner you get it, the better. Amen? Fresh jawbone. So Samson's doing good. But I'll tell you what impressed me more than the miracle of the 1,000. And more than just using a jawbone of a donkey, was the fact that when he got thirsty and tired, God was willing to do as much of a miracle to refresh him as he had done to give him the victory with just a jawbone. And that impressed me, that the heart of God wants to refresh us when we've spent ourselves. And so here he is. He calls. Now, number one, he gave God the glory. He said, "You gave me this deliverance," so that's important. Then en hakori means the spring of the caller. So he didn't passively sit back and say, "I'm thirsty, now it's your obligation to refresh me." He said, he called. He said, something's got to happen here because I'm all wizened up. And as he called upon the name of the Lord, God did a miracle. In fact, there's three interpretations of what happened. Number one, the old King James says that God made a hollow place in the jawbone and out came water. The New King James says that where the jawbone landed on the ground, a spring came out of the ground. The third one is that he threw the jawbone and it hit a rock, and God split a rock for one man the same way he did for a whole nation of Israel. And that means God would do for you what he did for 2 million people. Why do we ever say, "Can God?" That wasn't in this boy's vocabulary. You see, his... our attitude is, well, let me go out in the world today and see where I can hide and avoid any problems. Samson's attitude was, bring it on. Because I'm anointed. I got this thing in me from God, and it'll overcome every foe that I meet. That's important, to go out and say, "God, give me my 1,000. I think today if the body of Christ was going out every morning saying, "Give me 1,000 souls," God would be doing something amazing and awesome in our midst. If that was the cry of our heart, "I want my 1,000. Give me 1,000 souls." Now, on the way to work, you need to say, "God, I want victory over every obnoxious person that's there, every devil that's there, and everything else that's there, every principality." And I don't know where you work, but there's usually some in every place. On the way home, though, equally important, you need to say, "Lord, I need refreshing. Because I'm spent, and I need to be very careful that I don't go home grumpy. And what comes out of this jawbone tears the people I love to pieces. So on the way to work, give me my 1,000. On the way home, refresh me so I can be happy face when I get home. And it's not fake." Right? And the Bible says that when God refreshed him, he actually had, it says here that his spirit returned and he revived. Interesting separation, isn't it? Because he felt like he had lost his spirit. His spirit was kind of spent. And you and I feel that on a daily basis. And so here we find the Spirit of God seemed to return. It wasn't that it, quote, left him, but he was just spent. And his spirit returned, and he revived. He had a personal revival. I remember a friend of mine, he got saved, and this is back when I was in New Orleans early in my Christian experience, and he said to me, he said, I want the Holy Ghost. I said, well, you can have the Holy Ghost. I said, he said, well, where can I have the Holy Ghost? I said, anywhere you want him. He said, well, when? And we were driving down Louisiana Avenue in New Orleans, and I said, now. And I mean, he nearly blew the windows out of my Volkswagen with what came out of his mouth. I mean, this utterance in tongues just, boom, just came right out of his mouth. He didn't want half the kingdom. He didn't want to just be saved. He wanted everything God had for him. This guy got so excited, it was incredible. I mean, he got me excited because he was so excited. His personal revival will, your personal revival will make other people excited. I think chapter 16, verse 1 is something we shouldn't ignore. And Samson went to Gaza and he saw a harlot there and he went into her. It's amazingly stressing when we think of what people that have been anointed for 1,000 and bring refreshing and have found the secrets of God, have found the provision of God, would turn around and do something like that. And why did he do that? And the reason he did it was because he thought he could. He believed he could get away with it. And he just happened to believe he was so anointed he couldn't do anything wrong. And I tell you what I'm seeing in the body of Christ today, everywhere I'm going, is especially in the younger people, the college age group and younger, is that they really believe sin is optional and sin is okay. And a lot of them have been raised in Christian homes and they don't think sin is going to touch them. Well, I'm saved. And that's exactly where Samson was. I'm saved, I'm full of the Holy Ghost, and I know where the refreshing water is. My concern today is they know they are anointed for 1,000, but they don't walk in it. And they know there's a refreshing, but they don't drink it. Consequently, we become presumptuous, and we become proud and egotistical, and we end up sinning in the midst of our victory because we just think we can. There is a presumption about sin in the body of Christ today. I want you to know something. Sin is like God. It's no respecter of persons. Sin will bind you. Sin will blind you. And sin will grind you. And it doesn't care how many Jesus bumper stickers you got stuck on the front or the back bumper of your car. It happened. It's no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter who you think you are or how anointed you think you are. And this is the danger with living somewhere kind of in the middle. We're not walking in Samson's anointing of victory. We're not walking in his place of personal revival and refreshing. So sin looks very attractive. And we think we can get away with it. What I'm concerned about not only is the moral failure, and I'm hearing young people say it, well, I only did it once. I only did it once. What's the deal? Jesus will forgive me. I only did it once. But the question is, how many children have been born into this world unwanted because of one act of immorality? And how many children have been aborted on the altar of selfishness because of one act of immorality? It kind of changes the picture a little bit, doesn't it? And so here he is. He's visited a harlot. But I see more than that. I know two Christian girls this year that got pregnant by heathens because their parents let them date heathens. I know two girls this year that have moved in with their heathen boyfriends. There's another two girls. Why? Because, oh, it's kind of optional. It's okay. It's cool. I'm a Christian. I wear a cross, don't you know? You know what the devastating thing is? This boy went blind before they plucked his eyes out. And what happens when we disobey God, there's a cloud and a veil that comes over us. And what happens is that this is the backlash. We begin to love things that will never love us back. And I'm telling every teenage and college age person that's dating material, and if you don't need to hear this, take it and tell them. Find somebody, grab them softly by the ears, look them straight in the eye and tell them. Hello? Because what happens is, after he committed this immoral act, then he fell madly in love. Madly in love with Delilah. He couldn't see it. And when we won't honor God and we think we can cross moral lines, then what happens is the backlash is we start loving things that will kill us. We start loving things that are out to do us in. We're looking for love then, not from God, but from this person. And so he trusts Delilah and he gives her all of his heart. Now she was going to get paid 1,100 shekels of silver by every leader in the land of the Philistines. There was a price on the boy's head and he couldn't see it. So she said to him, tell me the secret of your power. So he said, well, look, if you bind my hands with fresh new ropes, I won't be able to have any power. He woke up from a nap with his hands bound with new ropes. I would have had an epiphany. Duh. This could be bad. I don't think this person's going to do me any good, right? I mean, it's toxic. I need to get out of this relationship. I need to run, Forrest, run. Did he do it? No, because he was already blind. His lust. See, he didn't believe he needed to rule his passions. And that's the downfall. We need to rule our passions. That's why they fight us so hard, because they want lordship back over our lives. That's why your passions get up every morning before you do and start beating on you the moment you open your eyes. Because they want to control you again. They were Lord of your life. They're not Lord anymore. That's why it takes an anointing of 1,000 to even overcome any of it. And a place of refreshing. Isn't it interesting that when he was under the anointing, his greatest fear was that he would fall into the hands of the uncircumcised. And yet when he was ruled by his passions, he gave himself to them. That's the insanity of sin. And so then the relationship deteriorated even more, the Bible says. And I'm not being female, male sensitive here. It can be a woman being tormented by a man or a man tormented by a woman. Let me clarify that, okay? But she tormented him. She vexed him. She vexed him day after day after day, because these relationships are never good. They're going to get good one day, right? They feel good at first? I'd even question that. And she wore that boy down day after day after day. And it vexed him. And it vexed him. That's what bad relationships do. They vex us. And then the next thing you know, he doesn't even want to live. It says he despaired of life. Didn't want to live anymore. This isn't a man anointed and refreshed. In the end, he gave in and he told her the secret of his power. He said, If you cut my hair, you see, I'm a Nazarite. And this is something that the body of Christ is forgetting today, is that he was a Nazarite from the womb. An angel visited his parents when he was born. He was set apart from the womb to be consecrated to God, to be a judge and a deliverer of Israel. What happened the day I got born again was that I was separated from this junk. I was separated from this world. I no longer have, quote, the privilege to indulge my passions. I have the privilege to have an anointing to overcome. The world needs to see the church anointed for 1,000 and a church that smiles because she's refreshed. And they're not seeing it yet. May they see it. And so... you know, and the warnings, he didn't heed the warnings. And what was blowing my mind the other day, I read this again, this isn't part of my normal reading, I read it again, and earlier in his life, his wife that he got from a Philistine, you know, he said to his parents, get me that Philistine. And they said, can you not find a godly woman to hang out with? He said, no, I like crude and lewd Philistine women. See, his affections had changed. And that's what Paul said to the Corinthians. We're not hindering you. Your own affections are hindering you. And that's what happens. And so we find that earlier in his life, he had a riddle. He had a riddle that he did with the lion. And he got honey out of the lion's carcass. And his wife came to him and she wept and said, "You don't love me. Tell me the riddle." And he wouldn't do it for days and days and days and days. And so she nagged him and nagged him and nagged him. And finally he told her the riddle. And boy, it started a war. Literally started a war. So he had already been there before, hadn't he? Where he'd been nagged down to giving up the secret. Did he remember that? No, he went blind, dumb, and stupid before they plucked his eyes out. And so he woke up, and this is the scary part for me. He didn't know when the Spirit of God left him. He didn't know. He thought it was just like it always was. He didn't know when the Holy Spirit says, "Have it your way, buddy, but I'm backing up." And he'll do that. I don't want to live close to that side of the things. Now, you can get into a doctrinal debate about that, but I'm staying away from that place of being where I would grieve the Spirit away from me. And he got up, shook himself, thought he was really cool, and he didn't have any strength at all. So they plucked his eyes out, bound his hands to a grinder. And in the prison, he went round and round. Because this is what happens ultimately with toxic relationships and bad choices, is life becomes a grind. And it goes round, and it's the same thing every day. It's the same old, the same repetitions. God forbid. We're on an adventure. We're not supposed to be going around in circles. We're supposed to be headed somewhere, doing something for God. And the torment for a Christian would be ultimately just going round and round and round. What do we got to look forward to? Oh, the same old thing tomorrow. Huh? I don't find that very exciting. Sin will bind you, it'll blind you, and it'll grind you. Now, Israel could have been in the promised land in 14 days. They chose the 40-year package. If you haven't yet chosen the 40-year package, but it looks attractive, I'm here today to tell you, don't do it. Don't do it. Whatever you do, don't do it, right? I'll warn you before you do it. But the encouraging thing is that if you have chosen the 40-year package, there is good news. But it's not news to presume upon. He paid a very high price for his sins. You see, Samson was a better man when he was on a grindstone going around in circles, oppressed with his eyes plucked out of his head, than he was when he was anointed for 1,000 and refreshed by God. Because when he was busted, he humbled himself. When he was going around in circles, he began to cry out and repent of his sins and hated what he had done and had plenty of time to think about it. And as he humbled himself, just like the children of Israel, and I told you earlier, that they took their ornaments off and they began to cry out to God. And then he shows up and says, "Now watch, I'll do something redemptive with you and do something awesome." His hair began to grow back. That amazes me. His hair began to grow back. A lot of us guys wish our hair would grow back. I've lost about half of mine. Or yeah, a color change would be good, you know? Right? His hair began to grow back. And you know what he said? "Let me do one significant thing for God before I die." There's a repentant heart. Let me do something significant for God before I die. Did God let him? He took out 3,000 Philistines and actually slaughtered more of them in his death than he did in his life. And I want to say to you today, if you'll get with God, he'll begin to restore what was lost. And he'll actually begin to re-anoint you to do great things. And you might be allowed to do many great things before you die. But what I'm scared about is some people say, "Well, then I'll take the 40-year package. I'll have my sin. And then I will repent later and my hair will grow back." If you do it with that intent, I declare you'll never get that far. God's not a fool. He's not a fool. When people presumptuously and deliberately choose the route of sin, it is not a good place to be. Amen? So hopefully we learn from this. Let's pray. Father, we need to be anointed for 1,000. As this world winds up and intensifies, we need an anointing to deal with 1,000 things every day. And I'm thankful we have it. It's there. It's abiding. It's not something that we need to beg for. You want us to have victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil every day. Thank you. And Lord, do refresh us. Don't let us walk around all dried up. May we cry out to you. And we thank you for the miracle of the jawbone having a hole in it, or the miracle of the ground opening, or the miracle of the rock splitting. We don't care what miracle it is. We're thankful that there's a miracle for us of refreshing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church, be encouraged. Okay, so we love you and really appreciate you praying. We've seen phenomenal things that God did for us this year. Just briefly, I was in Florida, and the doctor called me. And he said, I think there's endometrial cancer. And he said, the tumor's so big, I think it's probably cancerous. And he said, you need to cancel your trip and come home. And I went for a walk, and I was crying. And I said, God, please, don't take my wife away from me. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, she does not have cancer. It was that simple. She does not have cancer. And all of a sudden, I just got this peace. And then we went home and started up 3.5 weeks of tests. And every few days, a test would come back. Negative. 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 And the big one was the endometriosis. And it came back negative. And they were precancerous cells, but there was nothing cancerous at all. And God just did amazing things for us. So we are very encouraged in the Lord. And Kathy's still having some pain and a little brain fog from the anesthesia. You know, I'm probably the one that has brain fog. But no, she struggles with it a little bit. They said it'll take about a year for that to get out of her system. But this has been a good year for us, a trying good year. Amen? So come for prayer if you want prayer.